Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 7 to 14. It's the continuation of this morning's scripture reading where they told John that now they found one, a lamb who is slain, who is worthy to open the seal. Beginning with verse 7. Then he, the Lamb, came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And opened its seals, and they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the only man who is truly worthy of the praise of men, dear fellow, redeemed. Last week we heard the Apostle John tell us how important repentance and confession of sins is in our lives. Our theme last week was this: as we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ, we see that sincere confession of all sins is the only way to avoid spiritual disaster. Do you remember the ditch on both sides? The ditch of looking lightly upon your sins. The ditch on the other side, not believing that we have any damnable sins. Remember the last point last week? Our last point was this: God is faithful and just to forgive us, to forgive our sins through Jesus, our advocate and our atoning sacrifice. Well, this Sunday, we see that same Apostle John now given a vision, a symbolical picture of heaven. And then he reveals those sights to us. In our scripture reading this morning from Revelation 4, we saw the beauty and the glory of heaven. And John saw God the Father sitting on his throne. And in his throne he had a scroll in his hand, written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seals. That scroll revealed the history of mankind until Judgment Day, especially the history of the church, all believers in Christ. But as we heard, unfortunately, there was no one worthy to open that scroll. And so John began to cry. He wept not only because he couldn't see the future, but because of man's incompetence, man's unworthiness to open the seals. But then as we heard, suddenly there's a voice saying, We found one. It's a lamb. Looks as if it's been slain. He alone is worthy to open the seals. This lamb had seven horns and seven eyes. He came and he took the scroll out of the Father's hand. And the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down around him, and they praised him and singing a new song of praise, because this lamb was the only one worthy to unseal those seals and to open that scroll, because he alone was slain for the sins of the whole world and to make them kings and priests. And that's what we're encouraged to do today. As we prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ, we sing a new song in praise to our Savior, the Lamb. He alone is worthy. He alone was slain. He alone has redeemed us. Through the Word of God, the Scriptures, we see that this Lamb, of course, is none other than Jesus Christ, the Savior, who was slain and now has risen back to life again. He alone of all of mankind has the authority to open this scroll. And why? Why only he? Well, because opening that scroll means more than just revealing the future. The authority and the power to open a scroll shows that the history of mankind is in Christ's control. It's in his hands. It's according to his will. We declare that every time we confess the Apostles' Creed, and we say, He, Jesus, ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He now rules over all things, heaven and earth and all of history itself. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians that all things were placed under Jesus' feet. All future developments of history are under his control, his will, according to his plan. That's why history is really his story. The story of Christ. And the story of how Christ controls and rules all people. No angel, no king, no president, no dictator, no power, nothing on this earth was worthy for that honor. Only the Lamb. And again, why? Well, this new song tells us why. They sang this to the Lamb. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for or because you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Not Moses, not Elijah, not King David, not the greatest of all men, John the Baptist, not Mary, not the apostles Peter or Paul, only the Lamb who was slain. He alone earned that right and that honor to control all of history by giving his life and shedding his blood for all people. All the countless millions of sacrificial lambs in the Old Testament, they all pointed ahead to this one. They're all types or pictures or symbols of this Lamb who came to give his blood. This Lamb came from God, born of a human mother. He carried our sorrows and our griefs. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was crushed for our transgressions. He was led like the lamb to the slaughter without rebuke, without defiance, without rebellion. He willingly gave of his blood for you and me. That cannot be said of any single other person ever in the history of the world. Now, there are people who are very kind. There are people who are very giving. In fact, many soldiers, many armed forces people gave their life for the people in battle. But no one is like this one. Perfect God and perfect man in one person. The perfect substitute for the punishment of all our sins and our guilt. And the perfect sacrifice, willingly giving his body and his blood to pay what we could not pay. And now we see the Lamb gets the honor and the praise. He opens the scroll. He rules all of history. He has been placed as the head over all things. All principality, all power, all might, all dominion over every name that is named in earth, in heaven, under the earth, everyone under Christ. By his death, this Lamb redeemed, that has bought us back. He paid the ransom price for the souls of all people, so that people from all nations and tongues and people and tribes can call God their Father, and this Lamb their Savior. And there's a fourth point. By singing this song of praise to the Lamb, we're saying he alone made us kings and priests to rule with him. In 1 Peter 2:9, we read, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The Lord says that we're kings together with Christ. We rule together with Christ. We rule over this earth that he created. He put us in control as human beings. But he also says, when you bring my word of God to people, that word rules in the hearts of my believers. We're also told that he makes us priests. In the Old Testament, you couldn't do your own sacrifices. You couldn't go into the temple and pray by yourself and approach God. You had to do it through intermediaries, the Levitical priests. But now that our high priest has ascended on high, he's opened the door for us, and he's given us the authority to forgive sins and the authority to pray directly to the Father through him, not through a pastor, not through a human being, but directly through our high priest, Jesus Christ. The final lines or words of this new hymn of praise gives us a tremendous truth. It is, "And we shall reign on the earth." Talking to the believers, the church. Literally, it says there, we shall continue to reign on this earth. This reign is not talking about a thousand-year millennial reign here in Jerusalem. This is a reign that already began. It began when Christ rose from the dead. Those are some very important words for John and the people of his day. Because during this time, when John was exiled on the island of Patmos, around 95 to 100 AD, the church was being persecuted. The Roman government was, in some cases, confiscating Christians' property, exiling them out of their homes. Some of them were even put to death. It looked as if the church was being destroyed. The church was being defeated. The enemy had the upper hand. The trial for souls was being lost. But the Lord is saying, no, you're ruling with Christ. Even though it appears that way, you rule through Christ and his word. And that's our great confidence today. We too rule with Christ through his words of love, his words of forgiveness, his words of peace, through his Spirit, as we proclaim that message of salvation to all the world. What a comfort that is to know when we're plagued with maybe depression or despair, when our latter years become more of a burden than a joy, that Christ is in control of our future, and that we're ruling with Jesus. What a great blessing that is to know for us as individuals and as members of this Christian congregation. The gloom and doom of the economic forecast that we could collapse at any moment, of terrorist plots, of Satan's attacks, shouldn't scare us. It shouldn't cause us despair, to give up. Christ rules all things in this earth. All riches, all wealth in this world is his, and he dispenses them as he sees best and blesses us each with whatever he feels we need to have for our well-being. Our church budget will be met. Our family bills will be paid. Our families will be raised. Our work for Christ will be done. Alone through the ruling Lamb of God who lives forever and ever. The proclamation of his saving gospel message will produce fruits. And according to his will, harvest souls. It did in the past, it will continue in the future, as the Lord determines, as the Lord wills. For Jesus is the Lamb who was slain and works in and through us with his word. How blessed we are that we, as repentant sinners, already know our future. Your future is revealed to you. You're going to rule with Christ every day of your life. You're going to rule with Christ over sickness, sorrow, grief, loneliness, pain, despair, trials, tribulations. You're going to rule with Christ even over death. And then on Judgment Day, we're going to be gathered into that great choir, heavenly choir, gathered around that Lamb to sing praises to him throughout eternity. Through all of these difficulties and trials that we face in this life, these words serve as a powerful encouragement to each of us. We never need to despair because of our many sins. We never need to feel that we're all alone in life. We never need to give up because we're suffering chronic pain or illnesses. Even if we suffer persecution, no matter how terrible that is, there is something and someone in this world who is more powerful than all the trials and problems of this life. And that is the Lamb, who has reserved for us a place around his throne where we'll see him face to face throughout eternity. Yes, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing, honor, and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to that Lamb forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep our hearts and minds centered in our Lamb, Jesus Christ. Amen.